We sing this evening in Psalm 78. We began this psalm last time. We sang the first four verses. And so we're picking up tonight at verse 5. In Psalm 78, from verse 5 to verse 8, his testimony and his law in Israel, he did place. And we sing these four stanzas, verses 5 to 8. Psalm 78. Let us take our first readings now from the Gospel according to John, and we shall read first of all in chapter 5, in John's Gospel, chapter 5, and we shall begin to read at verse 25, and then we're going to read some verses in chapter 14, in John's Gospel, chapter 14. At the opening verses. John chapter 5, verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and have given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation or judgment. I can of my own self do nothing, as I hear I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. And then in chapter 14 in John's Gospel, at verse 1, let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And we can read also in Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians in chapter 4, and this famous statement from verse 13 to the end of chapter 4 in 1 Thessalonians. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those who have died in Christ, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them, not go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now let us join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are comforted as we read the scriptures emphasizing the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ out of the dead, that he died for our sins and that he rose again for our justification, and that he is coming again for our glorification and perfection. And we are comforted always because these are truths that deeply penetrate into the heart of all who believe in Christ. We do not find these things strange. They are strange, and we do find them strange up to a point. But we do not find them incredible. It is not an incredible thing to us that God should raise the dead. It is not an incredible thing for us that Christ, who came 2,000 years ago, will come again in his glory. It is not a thing incredible to the faith of believers that the dead shall rise, and that the believers in Christ will rise first and meet in the air all those who have gone before and who have come again with Christ, and all together we shall all be with the Lord. These are things which are written large in the scriptures, things which Christ taught on quite a number of occasions, things which the apostles referred to very frequently, and things to which the believing heart resorts again and again, not simply looking forward to the deliverance and the bliss of glory, but to being with Christ, to see him as he is, to be like him, and to know that his glory is going to be revealed and recognized and approved of and assented to by all his believing saints, and that there will be an everlasting, unending prayer and praise of adoration. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And so as we come again to think of these wonderful truths, we pray that our hearts would be lifted up. Sometimes we are cast down, so often we feel rather isolated. Often, indeed always perhaps, we are misunderstood, often misrepresented, often spoken against, and the pain of Christ's name taken in vain is a daily reality in the hearts of God's people. And how the gospel is trampled, and Christ is mocked and ridiculed and rejected as though he were nothing to the world. And how we see his gospel so misused and abused, even from within the church itself, and professing believers sometimes deliberately suppress the truth and do not encourage the saints by standing with the saints in times of trouble. And so we come again to the hope of glory and the comforting truths that the gospel is unchangeable and that what has taken place, it has been completed. Christ did die for our sins. He has been raised from the dead, and he is a great and a glorious Saviour. And as the hymn writer says, hallelujah, what a Saviour. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood, hallelujah. What a Saviour. This is the praise and the prayer of our hearts now, O God, as we come again to the Holy Scriptures. May we read with intelligence. May we listen with diligence. May we preach with enthusiasm and clarity and compassion and courage. May the church to the ends of the earth be built up, and may saints who are weakened be strengthened, saints who are wandering be brought home again, those who perhaps are walking through temporary darkness given enlightenment to find their way back into the fold and into the assurance of their salvation. We know, O God, from David's great penitential Psalm 51, that when we sin and are convicted and brought low because of some enormous crime in which there can be no denial and for which there is no excuse, we confess, O God, that it makes us miserable. We lose our hope. We lose our assurance. We lose our usefulness. We might even lose our good name. And our prayer is the prayer of David, restore unto me again, O God, the joy of thy salvation. Do not take the Holy Spirit away from me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within us, O God. We need so much these great penitential words in this our generation, and all of us to some degree or other must share and say amen with David's experience and David's prayer. And so, Heavenly Father, as we gather around the word, may we look to the bright side and remember that all is well with the souls of all who believe in Jesus Christ, and that all who come to him, they will never be cast away. This is his promise, this is his hope, and this is our consolations now, O God, as once again we wait in the courts of God's house and wait for God to speak to us in his word. Words that we need, words perhaps that are stern, but words always that are true and spoken in love and spoken in order that in Christ we might have peace. In the world we will have tribulation, but we are to be of good cheer because he has overcome the world. This is our consolation, O God. And this is our meditation in the word this evening hour. So look upon us and grant us grace and enlightenment, we pray, and always and only through the name of Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Saviour, we pray these things. Amen. Now we're going to read further in the book of Revelation in chapter 19. Chapter 19 in the book of Revelation, and we shall read from verse 1. After these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honour and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments, For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and has avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up for ever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and you that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honour to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so on in that reading of God's word. We're going to sing, we've got some intimations here. Next Lord's Day, of course, the services, both services, morning at 10:30 a.m. and the afternoon service at 4:30, these are recorded services also due to this present lockdown. And as always, we do welcome those who are joining in to hear the word of God and to worship together with us in this particular way at these strange times. Well, let us go on now then to sing in Psalm 78. And we come to verses 9 to 17. Psalm 78.
The Son of Israel.